to give you a second to find our text. It's 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining us today as we continue our What It Means series. And for those of you, this is your first time, just to kind of bring you up to speed. I do believe, and I've recently, probably in the last several years, God has made it very clear to me that we can become dangerously too familiar with certain passages, certain language in the scriptures, certain verses in the scriptures. And what I mean by that is we can become so familiar with it, like John 3:16, for example, that we miss, that we just gloss over it because we assume that we know all that there is to know about it. And the reality is we have no idea what it actually means. And so we talked about, 3 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You'd be amazed if people really didn't know what that meant. But now they're walking in the freedom of what it means to be a disciple because we help to educate them. And, you know, the Bible says that knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. And so we want to help people understand. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be a child of God. Last week, we talked about what it means to be born again. And today, we're going to talk about what it means to be holy. What it means to be holy. And our scripture reads like this. Beginning in verse 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds. Now, let me set this up for you. Peter has written a letter, his very first letter, to Christians who have been scattered because of persecution. They're not living the high life. They're not sitting on a beach somewhere and, you know, just chilling out and telling people who walk by about Jesus. No, they've been scattered because of persecution. In fact, we sent 5,000 Bibles into an area much like these first early Christians would have experienced, an area of persecution. They were in Pontus, they were in Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so Peter is writing to encourage them. And this is what he says in verse 13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Father, we love you and I love these people. Thank you for the privilege and honor today to stand and deliver your message. Thank you for the wonderful time of music as we worshiped you. I know, Father, I know that you were pleased. I sense you're present here. And God, you tell us that you inhabit the praises of your people. So that's a sign that you were pleased with our worship. Now, Lord, as we spend some time in your word, I pray that the hearts are prepared. I believe they are. And God, that your word would find a resting place and that we would all, God, just leave here different today than we came in. And God, that they don't hear my voice. They hear a voice other than mine. And that being the precious voice of the Holy Spirit. We love you and we thank you for this time at your feet. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Studies have shown that one of the number one questions that Christians ask is, what is God's will for my life? What does God want for my life now that I'm a Christian? What does he want? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. God's will for your life is your sanctification. Now, I know that's a big churchy word, but the Greek word for sanctification is hagiosmos. Hagiosmos, and this is what it means. It means to consecrate, to purify, to make holy. In other words, it means to become like Jesus. to become like Jesus. More than anything, folks, God expects us to be holy. He expects us to become like Jesus. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, in fact, this is the verse that Peter quotes in his letter. It says, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you didn't know, we've all been brought out of Egypt in some shape, form, or fashion. Some of us have been held prisoner, held in slavery of pornography, of alcohol, of drugs, of toxic relationships. We have been in Egypt, of sin, period. When we were apart from God, he sent Jesus to rescue us. That's what the whole story of the deliverance of the Exodus, that's what it's all about. And we've all been delivered from Egypt. And let me be very, very clear. God is a gracious God. God's a merciful God. God's a loving God. And let me tell you something. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And to be holy is not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. To be holy is a commandment. Is a commandment. To be holy simply means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for God's purpose. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, to come out from their midst and be separate. Come out from the midst, be separate. What does that mean from us? We're in the world, we're just not of the world, the Bible says. The world should look at us and see something different. When something is set apart, the only way I can illustrate this for you is when something is set apart or set aside from a group, it sends a visual picture. It communicates something that whatever it is that's set aside, if I had, you know, 30 bottles of Diet Mountain Dew, and I took one of those and I set it over here, I wouldn't even have to say anything to you. That visual picture would say, he's going to do something different with that one. He's got a different purpose. There's something that he's going to do with that one that he's not doing with these others. That's a picture of what God is saying when he calls us out from the world, when he delivers us from Egypt. He sets us apart for a purpose, for a special purpose, for his purpose. I have learned over many, many years of spiritually leading people, pastoring, shepherding people, that most Christians are not interested in being holy. They'd rather stay with the group. They'd rather go with the flow. They're not interested in being holy. Now, they're interested in being healthy, but they're not interested in being holy. They're interested in being happy. They're not interested in being holy. Hey, they're interested in having a good time, right? But they're not interested in being holy. You can have the health. You can be happy. You can have a great time and still be holy. In fact, it's a better time. And here's two reasons I've learned why most Christians are not interested in being holy. Number one is they have no idea what it means to be holy. If you knew what it meant to be holy, and it's my prayer that by the time we get done with this message, you will have a general idea, you will want to be holy. And the second reason most people don't want to be holy is because there has been a negative a stigma that went along with the word holy pertaining to a Christian. Let me give you an example. For anybody that's excited about Jesus, the world and other people will call you a holy roller. They'll make fun of you. If you don't go with the flow, if you're with a group of people and you're having fun and you're not doing anything wrong, and all of a sudden they move into an area that you know that you shouldn't be going in that area, and you stay put or you move away, oh, you think you're holier than thou. So the two reasons that Christians are not interested in being holy is, one, they don't understand what it means, and two, they don't want to be made fun of. And here's the sad part about it. It's not only the world that has degraded holiness, it's even in the church. It's even in the church. Oh, you think you're holier than everybody else. Well, I'm doing my best. We all should be doing our best to be holy. Because why, Pastor? Because God said I'm supposed to be holy. God said you're supposed to be holy. I love R.C. Sproul. I follow his teaching. He's an awesome man of God. He said, the holiness of God is traumatic to unholy people. That's strong. The holiness of God is traumatic. It'll traumatize unholy people. Leonard Ravenhill said, holiness is not a luxury. It's a necessity. If you're not holy, you'll never make it to heaven. Whew, that's a bold statement. Where did he get that idea from? Well, I'll tell you. Hebrews 12 and 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. I just told you what sanctification meant. It meant to be holy, to be like Jesus. And he's saying without that, you'll not see the Lord. Now, I want you to underline in your Bible, highlight, I want you to, whatever you got to do, in Hebrews 12 and 14, underline pursue, highlight it, whatever you got to do, and sanctification. We must pursue holiness. We must pursue being like Jesus. So by now, I'm hoping that I have got your attention and piqued your interest about what it means to be holy. So we're going to take just a few minutes and we're going to talk about that, what it means to be holy. If you want to be holy, and by the way, if you are a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, you've been set apart to be holy. And this is what your life should look like. Number one, you live a spiritually disciplined life. A spiritually disciplined life. Verse 13 of our text says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare, keep, fix. All of those are verbs. All of those mean action. We should prepare our minds for action. The King James, it says it this way, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? That just doesn't even make sense. Well, you got to understand the biblical culture. In the biblical culture, men wore long robes. And when it come time to work, those long robes would kind of get in the way. They'd get tangled up. They would just, it'd be a lot hotter. It'd just be a little more strenuous to work in those long robes. Now, what they would do is they would pull up that robe and they would tuck it down in their belt so that they could freely go about their work. They could work more efficiently. They could work without any hindrances or any struggles. And Hebrews 12 and 1 says, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. Today we would say, we wouldn't say gird up our loins. We would say roll up our sleeves. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. What do we need to get to work on, Pastor? We need to get to work on cleaning up our thought life. We need to get to work on cleaning up our mind. Listen, the war, ladies and gentlemen, the war for your holiness is waged right here. It's waged in the mind. Everything we do that displeases God or pleases God begins with a thought. We don't do anything apart from it beginning in our mind. And then we make a choice to do or not to do. So the war is waged right there. It says, keep sober in spirit. That's what the verse says. And this is what that means. Have some self-discipline. You got to discipline yourselves to think more clearly. You got to discipline yourselves to clean up your thought life. How do we do that, Pastor? Well, Revelations 12 and 2 tells us. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I just told you a moment ago what the will of God. What's the will of God? To be holy. And I can prove that I am holy, that I'm set apart for a purpose that God has called me to and has called you to by the way I think. Because a thought leads to action. Now look, Jerry Bridges said, discipline toward holiness begins with the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, our first step toward renewing our mind, and by the way, that's daily. If you're like me, that's moment by moment. The first step toward renewing your mind is to have the spiritual discipline to have daily time with God in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that makes all the difference. If we don't prepare our minds for action, if we don't renew our minds, sin will take over. And you will not be able to live a holy life. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What is that? This is a picture. When you take, like I don't know about you, anybody ever watch Dog the Bounty Hunter? Man, old dog, like he's taking people captive. Like he's not real tender-handed with them. No, they get them. They put them on the ground. They cuff them. That's the way we're to take every thought that enters our mind. You talking about just the bad thoughts, Pastor? No. I'm talking about every thought. It said every thought. Because the devil will lead you away with something good. He will lead you away with something good as long as it will take you away from God. So what you've got to do is you take that thought, that good thought, and say, Lord, is this what you want for my life? And he'll affirm it, or he'll give you an answer one way or the other. If we don't apply this verse to our life, people will say, it's only a thought. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I'm not doing it. I like the way it makes me feel when I think about it. Well, let me tell you what the scripture says about that. James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. He said, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes up out of a man. I guarantee you, whatever you think about long enough will bear fruit. I'm telling you, that's what, good and bad. If you think about good things, if you think about godly things, guess what? It'll bear that fruit in your life. It'll be evident of what you're thinking. Hey, you want to know what somebody's thinking? Just listen to them. Watch them. They'll tell you without telling you. So, it will carry you away. Now look, we have three enemies that we battle daily. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And all three of those wish to carry you, to carry me far away from God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. All three of them use the mind to get what they want. Why do you think advertising is so important? Why do you think the old saying goes, sex sells? Plants that thought. You like what you see. You begin to think about what you see. And then you purchase what you see. Or you begin to act on what you see. Because his whole intent is to carry you away from God. To be holy, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be spiritually disciplined in our life. We've got to be disciplined in our minds. We've got to be disciplined with our tongues. We've got to be disciplined with our actions. And we achieve discipline from the Word of God. I'll tell you something else, what a holy life looks like, what it means to be holy, is you're dependent on the Holy Spirit to be holy. We achieve discipline from the Word of God, but we acquire the ability to be holy from the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said, holiness has nothing to do with what we know and everything to do with who we know. Look at verse 15 of our text. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, look, also in your behavior. It begins with having a spiritually disciplined life, cleaning up our thought life, staying in the Word of God, staying in prayer, staying connected to the church. And then we begin to rely on the Holy Spirit. We begin to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, our behavior begins to reflect that. Jesus said, every tree is going to bear fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. So when you're called by God, you've heard me say this nearly every Sunday. When you're born again, well, let me put it this way. When you were, before you were born, you have always been, your spirit, God created, you've been from the beginning, your spirit, who you are. And then God had a purpose, and he created you a body, and he put your spirit in that body. And then he gave you a mother and father, and you were conceived, and you were born into this world. When you were born again, God gave you his spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you were born again. Now, I had to set that up. I had to set that up. Because he placed his spirit inside of you, because there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do that will make me holy. Only he makes us holy. Only he makes us holy. A man was walking down the railroad tracks and suddenly got his foot stuck in the railroad tracks. He tried and tried to get it out, and he couldn't get it out. I mean, it was really jammed in there. He heard a noise, and he turned around, and here comes a train down the track. He started to pray. He said, God, please get my foot out of these tracks, and I'll stop drinking. Nothing happened. It was still stuck. Train was getting closer. He prayed again, God, please get my foot out, and I'll stop drinking and cussing. Still nothing. The train was just moments away. He tried one last time. He said, God, please, if you get my foot out of these tracks, I'll quit drinking, I'll quit cussing, and I'll quit smoking. Suddenly his foot shot out of the track, and he was able to dive out of the way just in the nick of time. He got up, dusted himself off, looked toward heaven, and said, thanks anyway, God, I got it myself. We have a habit of doing it ourselves, at least in our mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't do it ourselves. If God commands us to be holy, which he does, he gives us the ability to be holy. And that ability comes from none other than the Holy Spirit of God. John 14 and 16 says, he will give you a helper. What's that? I'm sitting, you know, again, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I always ask questions. I'm very inquisitive. And I'm like, if he gives us a helper, then that means we need what? Help. Help what? Well, I just told you there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to be holy, but God commands us to be holy, so we need help being holy. And so he gives us the Holy Spirit. John 14, 17 says that helper will abide with you and will be in you. That word abide means to remain. It means to stay put. Like he's never going to leave you. And he will be in you. John 15, verse 5 says, apart from this helper, you can do nothing. Not only does God command us to be holy, but he gives us the ability to be holy. Listen, if I'm not living, if I'm not striving to be holy, if you're not striving to be holy, you have no excuse. I have no excuse. Because he's given us the helper. If I'm not living holy, it's because I'm either following the world, the flesh, or the devil, or all three. Because he gives us the ability to be holy. John 16, 13 says that he will guide you. That helper will guide you. Last week we talked about what it means to be born again. When we're born again, remember, we acquire the ability to hear the voice of God. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When we exercise spiritual discipline, what's some spiritual disciplines, Pastor? Studying God's word, reading God's word, prayer, fellowship, communion. When we do these spiritual disciplines, we begin to recognize clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because we've filtered out the garbage of our minds and we're taking every thought captive that comes into the obedience of Christ, because we don't want any more garbage, any more distractions in our minds that would hinder us from fulfilling the commandment to be holy, because God is holy. And all of a sudden, with that garbage out of our lives, we begin to hear the voice of God more clearly as we walk out our daily lives. And as we follow that voice, that guide, that helper, we will begin to be holy as God is holy. You will begin to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. So what does it mean to be holy? It means that you live a spiritually disciplined life. It means you're dependent on the Holy Spirit to be holy. And lastly, you are devoted to God. You're devoted to God. Verse 16 says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Again, if you, I want you to underline, highlight the word you in that verse. And then I want you to mark and underline, highlight I, the word I. Here's what God's saying is you and I. You're going to be holy, it's going to be you and I. I'm going to help you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to give you the ability, is you and I. That word devoted means to set apart. As again, it's right in there with sanctification. And being said, to set apart or dedicated by a solemn or formal act means to consecrate. That word solemn, here's the definition for serious. Serious. You're serious about being holy. You're serious about your relationship with God. You don't care what other people think. You're not going to go with the flow if it means going away from God. Now, you're serious about your relationship. Listen, I'm devoted to Stacy. I'm devoted to Stacy. And when you're devoted to someone, you want to be with them, right? You want to be with them. You want to please them. You want to serve them. If you're truly devoted to your spouse, you should put them first. A life devoted to God will want to be with him. We have a daily time. We begin our day with God because we're devoted to him. We want to please God. The way we please God, ladies and gentlemen, is simply by spending time in his word, with him in his word, and then applying his word to our lives. It's called obedience. That pleases God. A devoted man of God, a devoted woman of God wants to be with him, and you want to please him. And thirdly, you want to serve him. How do you serve him? I've said this for years. When I was a student pastor, this picture just came in my mind. Like, if Jesus was here right now, I just want to serve him. Jesus, listen, I know you got them Jerusalem cruiser sandals on, but look, I've got you some Jordans. I've got you some shoes. But Jesus is physically not here. So if I want to serve Jesus, if I want to put shoes, if I want to put some Cole Haans on Jesus' feet, then I put it on somebody else's feet. I serve somebody else. You see, Jesus says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So a person that's devoted to Christ wants to be with him, wants to please him, wants to serve him, and certainly puts him first in your life. He's first in your marriage. He's first in your job. He's first in your finances. He's first in your health. I told somebody this morning, I feel convicted every time I ask God to bless a Whopper. That's more like conviction. But if we should take care of ourselves. It's called submission. When we put God first in our life, we're submitting to what God wants for our life. And if it means exercise and eating right to take care of the temple, then as much as we hate to, we got to do it. We got to do it. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, as Apostle Paul said, and this is my creed for my life, and I want to encourage you to be the creed for your life, is your greatest ambition every day is to please God. Please God. Romans 6:19 says, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. What does that mean, Pastor? Present your members. It means present your whole body, present your whole being. Your body, your soul, your spirit, you give it all to God. You become a slave to God, what he wants for your life, whether it makes you uncomfortable or not, you do that. And when you do, it says the result will be holiness. When we're devoted to God, we fulfill His will for our lives. And that will is to be holy. And I conclude, I'm going to close with this passage, these few verses. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. And He said to them, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Ladies and gentlemen, that's devotion. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. I hope that by now you see the necessity of being holy. Because you have the ability. It doesn't matter what the world will call it. Listen. If somebody says, "Oh, you're a holy roller." Well, praise God. Thank you very much for saying that. Right? "Oh, you're holier than that." Well, praise God. Thank you for saying that. Because they're seeing something in you. If you're not accused of being a holy roller or a Christian, or something's wrong. We're to be a peculiar people. I mean, some of us are peculiar naturally, but I mean, we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. We change. You know why Jesus changed the world? Because He was different. He was different than the status quo. Those religious people, they had 660 something laws that they had to follow in order to be holy. Impossible. Impossible. Jesus, He said, "Follow me and I'll make you holy." So, either I want to follow 600 and some odd laws that is impossible for me to follow to try to achieve holiness, or do I want to follow Jesus, who says, "I'll make you holy. You just follow me. What I teach you, you just do." So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you're here this morning,